The first reading, which will also serve as the sermon text this morning, comes from Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 32. The whole group of believers was one in heart and soul. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they held everything in common. The apostles continued to testify about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with great power, and abundant grace was on all of them. There was not a needy person among them. For from time to time, those who were owners of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds received from what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to each one according to what anyone needed. Joseph, who was called Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again those words from Acts chapter 4. I'll read verses 32 and 33 at this time. The whole group of believers was one in heart and soul. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they held everything in common. The apostles continued to testify about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ with great power, and abundant grace was on all of them. This is the word of our God. And so we pray, Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, in our gospel lesson for this day, the fifth Sunday of Easter, we have such a beautiful picture, one of my favorite pictures in all of Scripture, where Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, I am the vine, you are the branches. And we see how we are connected to Jesus. We draw our life and everything that we have from him. What a beautiful connection that we have to our Savior. But in the context of this Sunday and the scripture readings, we see that this connection that we have with Jesus isn't just connecting us with him, but it connects us with all of those other branches, your fellow believers who are also connected to Jesus. And what a beautiful relationship that is, too. And we see a wonderful reflection of that in our lesson that's for our sermon text for today from Acts chapter 4. Branches together on the same vine, Jesus Christ, have this wonderful bond of love, which results in incredible care for each other as well. And so we take that as our theme for this morning to see that we too are one in heart and soul through the power of Jesus' resurrection and through the abundance of his grace. As you look at that text from Acts chapter 4, what would you say is the greatest show of generosity in the text? Some pretty profound things. To not think of private property but having everything in common. That's amazing, a fruit of faith in Jesus. A pretty great show of generosity. How about Barnabas? A son of encouragement. He sold his field. What a great show of generosity. An encouragement that gift of love for all of those believers to anyone who had a material need, that money from the sale could generously be given to those people in need. Anyone who had blessings then, they were inspired to be generous too, to be encouragers too by Barnabas' gift. That's why that's recorded for us, to spur on that kind of generosity by their example, to be generous with others. And they did. From time to time, those who were owners of lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds received from what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. It was distributed to each one according to what anyone needed. Incredible. Could you imagine that? Okay, well, maybe you say, well, maybe it was a summer home, a second home, a piece of property that they were just so well off that they didn't have need for it, so they sold it and gave that money away to help another. Wow, what in generosity that is, even if that's the case. But that's, of course, speculative. Perhaps they were downsizing their own life. I'm making my life smaller so that others can be provided for. To sell and live a more modest life. Incredible. Incredible generosity. Surely that must be the greatest show of generosity in this text, right? But it wasn't. It was the thing that inspired those displays of great generosity that was the greatest of all. The generosity of the Lord Jesus Christ in dying for sins and then rising from the dead. That's what inspired all of this Christian love. Jesus, that one who had risen from the dead, was the one who said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." So do you understand what that means? Everything that we have, more than that, everything that we are, is a gift of Jesus' generosity to us. Yes, Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the root. Jesus is the source from whom all blessings flow, as we sing in that wonderful doxology. That is the greatest display of generosity in this text, which then inspired all of these other incredible acts of unity and generosity for each other. It's interesting, the word that Luke was inspired to use to describe the testimony of the apostles in verse 33, and actually the ESV and the NIV don't do a real good job of reflecting that verb, but the main verb literally is translated, give away. It says, with great power, they were giving away the testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Just giving it away. What a wonderful expression that is. Liberally, throwing out the witness of Jesus' resurrection to everyone, like parade float attenders would throw out candy generously to everyone. That's the way the apostles were distributing this testimony of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And they were doing it so freely and with such great power that the people were inspired, were moved to be united with one heart and soul to give generously of their possessions. What a lesson for us today. Because God has been just as generous with us. He has risen from the dead for us too. And what is more, the news of that resurrection from the dead has been given to you so liberally through the ministry of the word and the administration of the sacraments. You are baptized. You are God's child, connected to Him, the vine, in your baptism. That means you're dead to sin and you're alive to God in Jesus. What a gift that is. Does that inspire generosity in you? It's a lot harder, I believe, in this culture to look at earthly belongings the way that those believers did in Acts chapter 4. My heart is condemned when I read this. We love our private property. No way that we would consider our property as the property of everyone in common. That someone could just tap into my bank account, my savings account, anytime that they had need, and just take a withdrawal. I would cry out, robbery! That's not right! Yes, our hearts are condemned as we consider the generosity of others in this text. But friends, God has moved your heart, and God has restored your soul. He has changed you to look differently at your possessions, to look differently at your entire life and person. Christ died for all of our stinginess. He rose from the dead to give us all a new heart and a new life. And in that new life, through the power of Jesus' resurrection, you do recognize and you are inspired to give generously, to live generously with all that you have and with all that you are, with time and talents and treasures and truth. And I'm amazed every time I see you coming in to God's house, I see the faces of generous people who are connected to this vine, Jesus Christ, who are united with me in heart and soul by that wonderful resurrection from the dead. What a blessing that is from Christ. Incredible generosity that he has given to us. And we know that we don't deserve this. But this is how generous God has been with us. He has poured out his grace into our laps abundantly. Yes, grace. That undeserved love of God. Grace. That I didn't earn it with works. Grace. That I could not have enough wealth or possessions to ever pay for it. And yet it abounds to me. It overflows to me. As the writer of Acts also expressed, abundant grace was on all of them. You know how much grace abounds. You sin daily. You fall short of God's love and care for others. You never measure up to the expectations of God, no matter how generous and giving you are in life. And yet, in spite of that, God loves you and came to this earth to die on the cross for all of these sins of yours. Grace abounds to you. And then he rose to connect you to himself, to the vine, and you were grafted in. Even though you didn't belong, he made you a part of his tree. He made you a branch on it, and he continues to feed and nourish you with his word and sacraments. Grace abounds. And that grace is then displayed in your life and in your actions too. You live and work not just for yourself. You live and work for your Savior Jesus. You view your possessions differently. Instead of your savings and your means of income and your sustenance in life or saving for retirement, they're avenues. They're channels of praising and thanking God for his abundant grace to you. And then they're resources that can be used in showing love and care for your fellow believers who are also branches on that tree. What a beautiful thing to be able to work together with offerings, with gifts, to spread that powerful witness of Jesus' resurrection to your neighborhood, to your community, to the world. Such a beautiful connection that we have, that we're united in heart and soul, is also expressed as we go up six or seven at a time, or even eight at a time if the deacons really want to see us scrunched together. And we usher forward to receive that wonderful gift of our Savior's body and blood with bread and wine. What a connection that is. That you are a branch connected to the vine, the blood, with the body and blood of Christ in this meal with bread and wine. And we pray in that beloved prayer after communion that's used to be in our hymnal, "Let me always remain in you as a branch remains in the vine." What a beautiful connection in the Lord's Supper. And look how ornately that's expressed too as you come up to receive that Lord's Supper. That fruitful vine there with that abundant fruit of grapes. That's you. God's branches connected to Jesus through his word and through that sacrament. But that prayer goes on, doesn't it? You know that post-communion prayer, you know, connected to Jesus, the vine. "Send me out in your power, the power of your Spirit, to live and work to your praise and glory." Send me out. Send me to live. Send me to work. That's my connection to all those other branches that are a part of that vine. As we heard so well last Maundy Thursday, that we are all one body, for we all partake of one bread. What a connection, both to Jesus and then also to each other. As I come forward to receive my forgiveness for all my sins from Jesus, I know that person next to me is also coming forward to receive that same beautiful forgiveness from him. And so just as I am forgiven and encouraged by that sacrament, so my fellow believer is forgiven and encouraged in that same sacrament. And so what do you say to that person? Your brother or your sister, your fellow believer. "We're one. We're united. I care about him, and she cares about me. And when I'm burdened with sin, I'm encouraged by the word that they speak. When my brother or sister suffers and is troubled with a cross, I carry that burden and that cross to show love and sympathy with them. When he's sick, I pray for him. When I lose a loved one, we join together to praise God for his blessed gift of resurrection. That's the abundant grace that has given to us, that we share with each other. Next week, we're so excited to join 6 more new faces in that group of communicant members here at St. Paul's. They'll profess their faith in Jesus' resurrection. They're going to receive his body and blood in the Lord's Supper beside us. What a joy to know that we're connected to Christ with them also together. And so we bear each other's burdens and we share each other's joys. It's such a beautiful connection that we see expressed so well by Jesus in our gospel lesson for today, that he is the vine and we are the branches. We are connected to Jesus. But because of that, we're also connected to each other. We all draw our life, our grace, our very existence from that same gracious Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are joined together. We are united. And that unity is in our heart and in our soul. We believe the same. We are alive by the same truth. We are recipients of that same abundant grace. And so that inspires us to live and to work together, to support each other, to pray for each other, to help each other, to carry each other's burdens, to forgive each other's sins, to join together in worship and praise of that same glorious God who lived and died and rose again to unite us to himself forever. What a beautiful display of unity is found in our text for today from Acts chapter 4. We are encouraged as we see the way that they were moved to love and care for each other. May that inspire us to have the same attitude about our lives for each other. May we approach our possessions that same way. May we support each other and the witness of the gospel with that same unity of heart and soul. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.